Blog Talk Radio.
Lord. And what I'd like to do right now
is to invite you to join us each Tuesday from 6:30 p.m. to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. And I'm going to go on ahead and introduce you to our guest. The Reverend Dr. Rosalind Parker is an anointed founder and senior pastor of A Taste of Heaven Ministries, and it is a New Jersey nonprofit dedicated to impacting and empowering the world around us. Dr. Parker, I might add, is an anointed woman of God with a dedicated commitment to other blessed outreach ministries located in the New Jersey area, including Crowned with Knowledge Book Hub, yes. Daughters of a Covenant Ministries, Sword of Gideon Ministry, Under the Call, and Anointed Roundtable Discussion for Kingdom Leaders, and Blessed to Be a Blessing. And right now, I would like to introduce you. We want her to bring a message, Come See a Man, and I know who she's talking about, but amen. I'm going to go on ahead, and by the grace of God, whatever the Holy Spirit say, we'll let him have his way. I would like to introduce you to the phenomenal woman of God, Dr. Pastor Rosalind Parker. Can we have some applause?
Praise the
Hello,
Lord.
Pastor Parker.
Lord. How are you, Evangelist?
I'm just fine, Dr. Parker. How are you, woman of God?
Blessed and highly favored. Thank you once again for allowing me to be on your show and inviting me to be a guest speaker on your show. I am so grateful and so humbled.
Amen. Amen. Well, Dr. Parker, I know that you had a word, but before we get into that, and hopefully, like I said, we'll have time to get to it, but we're going to first talk about some of these powerful ministries you have that God has bestowed upon you under your stewardship. Dr. Parker, we're truly honored, as I said, to have you as our guest today on Let's Glory in the Lord, and would like to begin by asking you to briefly share with our listening audience about the work you do for God's kingdom, beginning with A Taste of Heaven Ministries.
Praise God. And A Taste of Heaven Ministry was formed some time ago in 2007. It didn't get underway until 2003, we started to. No, sorry, 2007. Yeah, we started about ministering to young ladies. I would go to different conferences, you know, and I would go and she'd bring forth a word of God. And then from there on, God called me from my home church, and from there, I began to walk in my calling. I began to reach out to young sisters and women that were hurting. I was ministering down at the BOA Center. I was a daughter of a covenant was birthed. We were between New Jersey and North Carolina. We led about 76 young ladies to Christ.
My Lord.
And from there, from my home, we started a Bible study. Then the mothers and the parents started coming, and then my house was full. And then from then in January of 2012, 13, we had our first service, hallelujah, and which we
praise
still have
Lord.
In Cherry Hill, New Jersey. And we started out with about 10 to 12 members, being family and friends, and today I thank God that we have increased to about 50, 55 members. To God be the glory.
My Lord.
To God be the glory. So we're excited. I have two
amen.
Underneath from me, Minister Katifa Holmes and Minister Prophetess Mary Height, who are such a great help to me in the ministry. And from
amen.
There was born the Sword of Gideon Ministry, which is 2 years old. And what we do there is every Tuesday is an after-school program. We teach life principles.
Yes.
Uh-huh, down in Lakeland.
I'm sorry, go right ahead.
Uh-huh, I'm so sorry. It's a Sword of Gideon Ministry in Lakeland Youth Detention Center. And we're there every Tuesday. It's an after-school program, and we teach life principles. And from there, we teach the young ladies and the young men that are locked up but not locked out of God's promises. And that's going on 2 years old. And from there, from here, we have the Sword of Gideon Ministry. I mean, the Crown with Knowledge Book Hub, which is going on 2 years old also. It's a bookstore, Christian Bookstore Cafe, and we call it The Hub. It's where from this place here we sell Bibles. We have all the kingdom-building tools here, from commentaries to dictionaries to things for the church. We also have cafe where we serve fresh coffee, and downstairs we have a conference center where we have Wi-Fi, and we have computers, and I rent that space out for those who want to take church a little further.
What a
because
blessing.
Church,
what a
the
blessing.
Church is outside the buildings, amen? So
yes,
there are people,
yes.
People use that for meetings. Going on every Sunday, I have another evangelist that comes and she does a children's Sunday school, which goes on every Sunday down at the hub. I mean, at the hub in the basement for the community, and that's growing. And I thank God.
Amen.
We also have here. We have different. We have a women's support group and men also. It's called It's Trash Day. Put the Trash Out is a book that I'm working on, and Lord willing, to be completed next year. What we do is we go on retreats, and we go on our third retreat next year, 2016. We've been down to Ocean City, Maryland, to Lancaster, and God has blessed us to go to Cape Cod next year. And we affiliate with about five different churches from Delaware to Philadelphia. We come together, we go down there, and we go and receive a word from the Lord, and not only receive it,
ooh,
we apply it to our lives.
Phenomenal ministry.
Yes, so that's growing, and I thank God for that also. Then we have the Blessed Ministry, where around the holiday times and Thanksgiving and Christmas, we collect baskets, we help out needy families, and we have gift cards and parties, and we collect gift cards from all surrounding friends and neighbors, and we bless two families. Last year, we collected about over $500 in gift cards, and we gave it to
my Lord.
We helped two families for the Christmas holidays, and we also gave out 13 baskets for Thanksgiving time, and we give out clothes. So we're on the move. We're on the move for God, and God
is
doing.
You are on the move.
Yes. I thank God for that. And we also have on the second year going stronger our Bible Institute. It's called the Taste of Heaven's Bible Institute, where it's a 9-month program where we have a certificate in theology. We have 1 hour in biblical studies and 1 hour in semester theology. And what we do is I just give that lay person or that woman or man of God that wants to know more of God and more of the Bible. And we teach it every Monday night. So that's an awesome move of God also. And from that also, we have Under the Collar. And that's a roundtable discussion. I know when I started out, I had so many questions. And, everyone always say, if God, God gives it to you, he calls you, he will fulfill you, which is true. But you have some questions,
yes.
And it's good to sit down with others.
You need to be equipped, too.
Yes, exactly. So we started that, and we come, and we just answer questions all according to the word of God. And we sit there,
amen.
And we just encourage and empower people for service for God. Because I believe that once people know who they are in Christ Jesus, they will become detrimental and tear down Satan's kingdom.
Amen. Ooh, amen.
That's
glory. Hallelujah.
That's what we're about.
Yes.
So we're giving them the tools to know. So God is good. I've been on my secular job 32 years. I retired in December of last year, and I'm 9 months in, hallelujah, going on 10 months in retirement. So now I'm able to do full-time ministry, and it's truly been a blessing, and God is awesome.
And I tell you what, he is definitely, definitely using you. All we got to do, I mentioned to someone recently, you just got to offer yourself up a living sacrifice, he's going to do it. He will use you. So when you say, use me, Lord, oftentimes, woman of God, people will say, oh, use me, Lord. They'll see the anointing upon your life and the life of others like you in a fivefold ministry, and they'll say, well, use me. I mean, and you can be used. God give everybody gifts, okay?
Yes.
Ministry of health is just as important as any gift that God gives out. But when you are in a fivefold ministry, that ministry of health encompasses the ministry that you're doing.
Exactly.
Because people see your glory, but they don't know your story.
Hallelujah,
so
that's so true.
People oftentimes will say, well, oh, give me, oh, I want that, oh, that anointing that Dr. Parker have upon her life, and oh, but do they really want to get in the trenches? And this is what you are doing. This is what the ministry God has entrusted to you. He gives you a stewardship, and you are responsible for that because he said unto us that those that know to do will be beat with few strikes, but those who know to do and don't do will be beat with many. And those
many
also
exactly,
who much for whom much is given, much is required.
Absolutely.
So you therefore
absolutely
have a responsibility to the Most High God.
Absolutely.
And thank God for his son, Jesus Christ, and his grace. Now, woman of God, that was just a beautiful summation of all the work that you're doing. But we're going to take a little break here, and when we return, we'd like you to go into your message, Come See
sure
a Man. Is that
come
all right
see
with
man
you, woman of God?
Amen. All is well.
Amen. Well,
amen.
We'll just take a break here. Welcome back, listeners. And as a reminder, you're listening to Let's Glory in the Lord with your host, Evangelist Desiree Evans. And we're welcoming a powerful woman of God today. Her name is the Reverend Dr. Rosalind Parker, an anointed founder and senior pastor of A Taste of Heaven Ministries, among her many other ministries God has bestowed and stewardship God has bestowed upon her. We're going ahead and introduce the woman of God to bring her message, Come See a Man.
Hallelujah. Thank you, God, and it's been great having you on that talk before your word. Amen. I'd like to speak from the topic, Come See a Man. According to the book of John in chapter 4, is a very familiar story about the woman at the well. But I just want to read a few verses here with from 25 to 29, and 29 being my key verse. And the word of God reads as following. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speaketh unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, Come see a man which told me all the things that I ever I did. Is not this the Christ? I want to reiterate verse 29 again. Come see a man which told me all the things that I ever did. Is this not the Christ? May the Lord bless his already blessed word. Here, in this book of John, we meet this unnamed woman, and she's at the well. And the Bible, in the beginning of the verse, it says in verse 3 that there was a need for Jesus to come this way. And being a need, that something essential, something necessary had to be supplied here. And as he came upon this woman was in the middle of the day. She was at Jacob's well, at the well, and she was drawing water. Now, we don't know why she was there. I heard so many different abbreviations or conclusions of why she was there. But anywho, she was there, and she was getting her water, and here comes Jesus. And she sees this man, and Jesus is asking her, I'm paraphrasing, if you don't mind. Jesus is asking her for a drink. Now, this woman, this unnamed woman, we know her story, that she had been with many different men. Jesus asked her, where's her husband? But at this time, she sees him as wanting something from her. And sometimes as a woman and being Jews and being put away so many times, she was put away 5 times. And here this man that she was with now wasn't even her husband. And here this man comes along the scene, and he asking her for something. And sometimes we get to the point where we get tired of people asking us all the time for something, mainly when you've been used and abused. Am I right about it?
Amen.
So
he
asked her for something. But one thing I love about Jesus is that when he comes and he asks her a question, he always knows how to flip the script, because she sees him as wanting something from her, because he was wearied and he wanted something to drink. And it reminds me in a book later in the book of John when he said, I thirst. And he was thirsty. He wanted something to drink, but he flipped the script from where she was at.
Yes,
she looked at him from wanting something that he needed, and in the end, she had what he needed. Hallelujah.
Yes,
so she
hallelujah.
Comes up to him, and one thing I love about Jesus is that here in the verse it says that 25, that the woman, when she talking, goes back and forth with him, that I tell my people all the time, when you go out to evangelize, meet the people right where they know, right where they're at. Because when you begin to talk about something they know, it's easy to converse back and forth. Am I right about it?
Yes.
She didn't shrug her shoulder. She didn't roll her eyes. She didn't even not speak back to him, because he began to meet her right where she was. He began to talk about worship, and he began to talk about the well, because she said, are you greater than Jacob? So she knew about something about the history of this well. She knew about something, even though she wasn't of his religion, but she knew of her religion, and she heard about that. It reminds me of Marvin Gaye. Like he said, I heard it through the grapevine. You hear about different things, and you know about different things, but he met her right where she was, and he asked she asked him, are you greater than Jacob? And he begins to tell her, that water that Jacob gives you will make you want some more. You were thirsty. You were thirsty. The water that I have, you won't thirst anymore, because he had what she needed, that living water that will quench her thirst eternally.
Hallelujah.
So as the story goes on, they're talking about worshiping and they're going back and forth, and he's keeping her at right what she knows. And because she says that I know the Messiah coming, which is called the Christ, and I know that he's coming, and when he comes, he's going to tell me everything. Because she knows the history. In Isaiah, he confirms it in his 11th chapter and verse 2. It says that the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and shall make him quick in understanding and fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. So therefore, when he seen her, he wasn't afraid. He didn't want to talk to her. But then Luke, in the New Testament, he confirms it in his second chapter, in 47. He says that all that heard him while he was in the temple teaching as a boy, that they were astonished at his understanding and answers. And that Jesus, as he grew, he increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. So this Samaritan woman, this woman, she knew that when the Messiah come, that he knows all things. So Jesus here, he goes on he went a little further, and he asked her about the men in her life. And he just sparked her interest, let her know that I know some things that you don't even think I know. Because we serve a God that sits high and looks low, and behold the good as well as the evil. So God didn't make her run away. He pricked her curiosity, like, how does this man know something about me? How does he know? So when she came, and then he, for the first time, he revealed that I am he. Now, prior to this and many other stories, you heard that he said, go and tell no one. But right here with her, he's letting her know, I'm what you
yes.
need. I'm right here. Who are you waiting for is already here. Amen?
Thank you.
So
Jesus.
He comes and as he's telling her these things, his disciple comes along and they're seeing her, him talking to this woman. Now, this woman, she had three things that put her in a disadvantage. Number one, she was a Samaritan. She was guilty, too, of sexual immorality. And number
yes.
three, she was a woman. And how dare the Messiah sit here, their leader, talking to this woman. Amen?
All
but
right.
one characteristic about Jesus, that they knew that when he comes that he would tell them the secrets of their heart. So she knew that
yes,
when he began to prick
yes,
her curiosity
yes.
about all the men that she was, she began to,
yes,
I believe,
Lord.
When he was talking back to her, she believed. Now, in different versions of the Bibles, we find that they said that can thou or will thou or that she knew. But here she's saying that she knew. And he says that when they came, they marveled. But at that moment when he told her who she was convinced. She believed
yes,
that
yes.
he was the King of Kings, that he was the Lord of Lords, that he was the long-awaited
yes.
Messiah.
Oh,
so she dropped
Lord.
Her
bless
water pots. And
hallelujah.
What I love about that when I met Jesus for myself, hallelujah, that everything
right.
that I was doing, it began to, I just left it. And I picked up my cross and I followed
that's
after him. And
here,
she came to get that water, and she realized the water that she was getting wasn't the water she didn't want anymore. Hallelujah.
Ooh,
she
hallelujah.
Left everything there.
Yes,
and
Lord,
she went
hallelujah.
Running. And the Bible says that she left her water pot, and she ran to the city, and I believe she ran fast, amen. And she
ooh,
said,
yes,
come,
hallelujah.
Come see a man. And here we see it
come
here is come with a little, you know, but I believe that Jeremiah reminds me that Jeremiah said that I'm not going to talk about him anymore. But Jeremiah said that he couldn't because it was like fire shut up in
like
his bones. And yet
she was
glory, willing
hallelujah.
To speak about him. So she ran fast. I believe that when she got
ooh,
there,
like
it wasn't just a come.
Phone.
It was a come. Come see a man.
Hallelujah.
Come see a man. And she was
yes.
so convincing with that word to come and see that the men came, and they came and they went to lay their eyes, behold the man. She said, come see a man. Yes, he was 100% God, and yes, he was 100% man. But here, the man that walked on water, the man that spoke peace to the
yes.
poor raging sea, the man that
yes.
made the lame to get up and the blind to see, the same man was the King of Kings and the Lord
the
of Lords,
of
the same man was the way,
him.
The truth, and the light, and yet she said, come see a man.
Glory, hallelujah.
Come
hallelujah.
See a man. And
praise
that's
the
same
Lord.
Urgency I have that as I go out about being about my Father's business, that I have that come,
yes.
will you come? Come see a man. Every Sunday I'm inviting people, come. The church doors
yes.
are open. There's room at the cross. No matter what you've done,
yes.
hallelujah, no matter what you've done, no matter how
yes.
far down you are, I thank God we serve a God that can reach way
yes.
down because Jesus
yes.
can pick you up. And not only will he pick you up, he place your feet on solid ground
right.
that you're able to
yes.
run on and see what
yes.
the end is going to be. Will you come? Will you come?
Amen.
Come
amen.
And see this man.
Thank you, Jesus. Well, woman of God, we just thank and praise the Lord for you today.
Yes, yes.
Thank the Lord. For the work that you're doing for his kingdom. And we want to ask you sometime next year, but we just invite you back and we thank all the listeners
yes.
out there and ask them to come and see a man.
Come see a man. Hallelujah. Thank you
amen.
So much.
Amen. Thank you,
thank
woman
you.
Of God.
Thank you.
Amen.
God bless.
God bless.